Good morning, Faith Community Church. It is so good to see all of you here this morning for worship on this Father's Day. If you would just honk if you can hear me. All right. I won't ask you to honk if you can't hear me because that's not going to work very well, but at least I know that many of you can hear me, so that's good. It's good to have you worshiping with us this morning. Hopefully you got a bulletin when you pulled into the parking lot this morning, and that does have some announcements on it. One thing that we are very excited about is our picture directory. You remember several months ago that we were planning on getting our pictures taken in April for a new picture directory, and we had to postpone that because of shutting the building down. But now that everything's opening back up, we've got that back on the schedule. We have dates set in July for taking pictures. And the announcement's on the back of your bulletin about how you can sign up for that and be part of our upcoming picture directory. We hope that all of you will participate in that. The trustees are looking for some help with cleanup around the grounds, and if you're willing to donate some time and some effort to help with that, there's information about how you can do that. And finally, I just want to mention that as we leave the parking lot this morning, that there will be a basket over by the exit. If you brought an offering with you that you want to give this morning for your offering, you'll have an opportunity to do that on the way out this morning. And now I invite you to turn in your bulletins to the call to worship and join with me responsively in Psalm 67. O God, be gracious to us and bless us and make your face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the people with equity and guide the nations upon the earth. And let us sing now together, This is My Father's World. The music is in your bulletin. Please now join me in praying our invocation. Loving God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have shown us how important it is to follow your example as we grow in faith. Teach us to be obedient to your will, respecting you as children ought. Thank you for your mercy despite our disobedience. Strengthen us to stand up against the challenges of this world, honoring your name and trusting your grace. In the name of your Son, we pray. Amen. Our epistle lesson this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Romans from chapter 4, verses 13 through 25. For the promise that he would inherit the world did not come to Abraham or to his descendants through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. If it is the adherents of the law who are to be heirs, faith is null and the promise is void, for the law brings wrath. But where there is no law, neither is there violation. For this reason, it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his descendants, not only to the adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, for he is the father of all of us. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. Hoping against hope, he believed that he would become the father of many nations. According to what was said, so numerous shall your descendants be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Therefore, his faith was reckoned to him as righteousness. Now the words it was reckoned to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was handed over to death for our trespasses and was raised for our justification.
Sing with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Leo.
Together for a word of prayer. God of our fathers and God of our forefathers in the faith, O our great heavenly Father and Master, we give you thanks for this day, for this opportunity to come together in worship and praise, to proclaim your greatness and your glory, to give you thanks for the great gift of life, and the even more astounding gift of life eternal, which you have given to us through the sacrifice of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. On this Father's Day, Lord, we thank you for our fathers and our grandfathers, and for all those who, regardless of biological relation, have been like fathers to us, those faithful men who have taught us your ways, who have lived by your truth, who have through faithful devotion to you led by example. Wherever they have fallen short, Lord, wherever we have fallen short, forgive us by your great love. Strengthen them and strengthen us. Bless them and bless us. Make all of us faithful witnesses to the beauty and the glory that is life in Christ. Life in Christ, that glorious inheritance we have from you, our perfect Father. We, your children, cry out to you, Father, for loved ones who are hurting at this time. We, your children, call out to you, Father, for our nation, for our world, for healing, justice for the oppressed, provision for the deprived, comfort for the aggrieved, and peace for all your people. We are your people, Lord, your children according to the promise that you made thousands of years ago to our forefather Abraham, the promise that you opened to all people through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. You are a good and perfect Father. We praise you this day. We offer you our worship in the name of Jesus as we lift to you now the words that he has taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Our gospel lesson this morning is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. Jesus said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me, the door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because of his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now let us join in singing together, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I think probably all children at one time or another go through a phase where they swear to themselves and perhaps to anybody else who will listen, I'm not going to be anything like my parents when I grow up. I'm sure at least some of you have thought that at one time or another in your youth. Some of the younger generation here might be thinking that even now. I'm sure that my boys are probably both nodding their heads right now. Yeah, I'm never going to be like that old man. When people tell them, you sure do take after your father, I don't think they take that as a compliment. I used to be the same way about my dad. There were certain things that he did that just drove me absolutely crazy, and I'd say, I'm never going to be like that. I won't name any specifics right now because we are recording this service to post online later, and he'll probably get to see it. Hi, Dad, I love you. But yeah, there are some things about our fathers that we don't necessarily want to emulate. But there are also some things that we do, some things that we should. The father in the story from Luke 11, he's an ordinary man. He's not especially good, but he's not especially bad either. He's just a man. That's kind of the role that he plays in the story. Jesus knows that any father can relate to this man. There he is, minding his business late at night. He probably had a hard day of work. Wasn't every day of work long and hard? He was tired when he got home, but still he spent some hours playing with his children, visiting with his wife. Now it is quite late. His children are in bed. His wife is asleep. The house has been all locked up for the night. Finally, the man gets to lay his head down upon his pillow, looking forward to a few hours of peaceful sleep before getting up to do it all over again. And all of a sudden, there's a knock at the door. A friend is there asking for 3 loaves of bread to give to a surprise guest. The father was probably already into that twilight stage of being half awake and half asleep where you're not really sure where you are and words kind of lose all meaning. Bread? What's bread? Where do we keep the bread? I don't know. Who has a guest arrive at midnight anyway? Go away, leave me alone, let me sleep. It might not be the most neighborly attitude, but we've all been there, haven't we? You better not wake up my kids. Do you know how long it'll take me to get the baby back to sleep? Do you know what a long day I've had? You come to me at midnight threatening to disturb my entire household just for a few loaves of bread for a guest that was rude enough to show up on your doorstep in the middle of the night? Now, he's not a bad man. He's just tired with a lot on his mind, tons of responsibilities weighing him down. He just wants to get some sleep. I don't know about you, but I can relate to that. I can't blame him for wanting to turn his friend away. I probably want to turn him away too. But Jesus says, even though the father in this story doesn't want to get up and give him the bread for the sake of their friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. Not because he's a good man does he get up. Not because they are good friends does he get up. Not out of Christian love or neighborly kindness does he get up. He gets up because his friend at the door is persistent. And if he doesn't get up and give him what he wants, then the whole household is going to be woken up anyway, and it's just going to be a big old mess. In other words, it is in this sleep-weary father's own personal self-interest that he begrudgingly gets up and gives his persistent friend the bread that he needs. And then Jesus goes on to say, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if your child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your own children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Now, are we going to just gloss over the fact that Jesus just called us evil? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your own children. Now, Jesus had just posed a couple of rhetorical questions, questions that are easy for us to answer. If your child asks for a fish, will you give him a snake instead? No, of course not, we answer. That would be cruel. I'm not cruel. I'm a good father. I wouldn't do that. If your child asks for an egg, will you give him a scorpion? I'm not even sure where I would get a scorpion. But culture and geography aside, no, I would not give a dangerous, venomous, scary creature to my child who just wanted me to scramble an egg for him. I'm not a monster. But then Jesus kind of claws at us a little bit. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children. Now, I don't normally think of myself as evil, do you? Might not be the best father in the world, but I'm not evil. I'm a good man. I try to be a good dad. I'm guessing that none of you came to church on Father's Day to be told that you're evil. But there we have it from the mouth of Jesus. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. It's important to bear in mind what Jesus means by that. In a religious sense, in terms of righteousness, in relation to our standing before God, the Bible tells us that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. The fact of original sin teaches us that we are born into a sinful condition in which we are hopelessly turned in upon ourselves rather than turned towards God and neighbor. Our selfishness, our self-centeredness is in fact sin. And in that sense, we are evil. Anything that is counter to God's intention for us is evil. Jesus is simply telling it the way it is. Every one of us, if someone comes banging on our door at midnight after a long day of work and the house is all locked up and the kids are all in bed and we are as tired as the day is long and we just want to get some sleep, every one of us is going to be a little bit put out by that. You may get up and get your friend the bread that he needs, but still, there's going to be at least a little bit of self-interest in doing that. The quicker I can get him the bread, the quicker he'll go away, and the quicker I can go back to sleep. We don't usually call that evil. We relate to it too much to call it evil. How can it be evil when it comes so naturally? But that's just the point that Jesus is making in this story. What comes naturally to us is sin. What comes naturally to us is evil. But what comes naturally to God is goodness and righteousness. We might be good people, we might do good things, but still there is sin in us. Still we have an inclination to evil. But God has no inclination to evil at all. God is nothing but perfect love, perfect, selfless, self-giving love. So if we, though we are evil, though we are selfish, though we are self-centered, self-serving, we still know how to do right by our children, how much more can we rely upon our selfless, self-giving Heavenly Father to do right by us? God is perfectly good, perfectly righteous, perfectly loving, without any defect, without any error, and we are His beloved children. We can rely on Him with absolute certainty to give us exactly what we need. Not always exactly what we want, not always exactly what we ask for. After all, we are still corrupted by sin. Sometimes we ask for things that will harm us. Sometimes we search for idols that will lead us astray. Sometimes we knock on the wrong doors. But God, the good and perfect Father that He is, will give us exactly what we need. If we continue to ask, if we continue to seek, if we continue to knock, God will deliver to us everything that He has promised. The promise is given to all who believe. And that brings us to our other scripture reading for this morning. Romans 4 tells about another father, Father Abraham. He is the father of us all, writes the Apostle Paul. Abraham is the father of us all, and all of us are to take after him when it comes to faith. The passage of Scripture that we find in Romans 4 holds Abraham up as the pinnacle of what genuine faith in God looks like. Hoping against hope, verse 18 tells us. Hoping against hope. imagine how much faith that takes to hope against hope, to keep on hoping even when hope seems futile, to keep on hoping even when there is not one shred of hard evidence that what you're hoping for could possibly come to pass. Not a shred of hard evidence, but there is faith. Faith, not in yourself or in luck or in coincidence or in circumstance or in anything in this world, but faith in God. Faith that God would deliver. Faith that God is able to do all that he has promised, and hope against hope that he will indeed do it. That's the kind of faith that Abraham had. You remember the story. Abram was already 75 years old when God called him to leave everything behind and travel to a new country that God would show him. In return, God would make him the father of a great nation. But Abram had no children. He was 75 years old. Still, he went because God had promised, and Abram believed. 24 years later, Abram was living in the land to which God had led him, and he still had no children with his wife Sarah. Once again, God called him, changing his name to Abraham and calling him into covenant. And once again, God promised to make him the father of a vast multitude through his wife Sarah, and challenged him to trust that God would make it happen. 99 years old he was, and he believed God. He put his faith in God. He wagered his life on God. Paul tells us in Romans 4:19, he did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, for he was about 100 years old. When he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead. You see, Abraham was not naive to the reality of his situation. He was not ignorant to the fact that 100-year-old men do not normally have children. He knew what the chances were. He considered the condition of his body. But here's the amazing thing about Abraham. When he considered his own body, which was already as good as dead, he did not weaken in faith. Imagine that. It doesn't say he held on to a little minuscule glimmer of hope. It doesn't say he thought maybe perhaps it was possible, but he didn't really think it was very likely to happen. No, it says he did not weaken in faith, not even a little bit. He did not doubt for a moment that God could and would deliver on his promise. He hoped against hope. He did not weaken in faith. He did not weaken in faith when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. It's not that he turned a blind eye to the fact that Sarah was old. Abraham knew perfectly well that 90-year-old women who had never conceived a child before in her life was not a good candidate for pregnancy. He knew what the chances were. He considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, and yet he did not weaken in faith. He continued to believe in God's unwavering word. He continued to have faith in the promise of God. But it gets even better than that. And here is where we can learn from his example. Here is where we can take after our father Abraham. After telling us that he did not weaken in faith when considering his own body, he did not weaken in faith when considering the barrenness of Sarah's womb, you might be wondering, how? How is it possible that he didn't weaken in faith when considering the reality of the obstacles that were stacked against him? How? Well, verse 20 tells us how. Here it is. No distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. There is the answer right there. He grew strong in faith as he gave praise to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. Now, I think most of us here are fully convinced that God is able to do all that he has promised. We believe that in our heads. But how do we get that intellectual belief to come out in our day-to-day lives? How do we get that belief to so enrapture our souls that every time we face a challenge, every time we come up against a roadblock, when we face those obstacles to our faith, how do we develop a faith that does not weaken when we consider the reality of what we are up against? A faith that only continues to grow stronger. Father Abraham shows us how. He grew strong in faith as he gave glory to God. As he gave glory to God. He gave glory to God, and that made him grow stronger in his faith. He gave glory to God because he knew that God was strong to deliver. He gave glory to God because he knew that God was faithful to deliver. He gave glory to God because he knew that God would deliver. He didn't know how. He couldn't possibly have known how. Abraham could not for the life of him have imagined how God would cause a 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old barren woman to conceive and bear a child. But God promised that he would do it. And Abraham believed the word of God. It is the act of praising God, despite the circumstances in the world around us, despite our own physical limitations, despite our frustrations and disappointments and setbacks, to praise God in the midst of all of that is what makes us grow strong in faith. We don't have to turn a blind eye to reality. We don't have to ignore what's going on around us, what's coming up against us. Abraham didn't ignore any of that. He considered his own body, which was already as good as dead. He considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. And he praised God. He praised God because he knew it was not his own virility that would produce an offspring, but God who would deliver on the promise. He praised God because he knew it was not up to the suitable condition of Sarah's womb to make it happen. It was up to God to make it happen. And God is faithful. We face a lot of challenges in this life. There are lots of things that threaten to come against us even now. But that's where faith comes in. What could possibly cause us to falter in our faith if we remain focused on praising God? There is nothing that can keep God from fulfilling his promises to us. Age is not an issue. God proved that through Abraham. Barrenness is not an issue. God proved that through Sarah. Even death itself is not an issue. God proved that in raising Jesus Christ from the dead, and he has promised to raise each and every one of us who shares in that faith. So let all of us take after Father Abraham. Abraham's faith was reckoned to him as righteousness, says Paul. And that same faith, that same righteousness will likewise be reckoned to us who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Nothing in all creation can weaken our faith when we praise him, being fully convinced that God is able to do all that he has promised. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Praise the Lord, O gathered assembly. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him for his surpassing greatness. Praise him for the Lord is good. He is a good father, and his faithfulness is to all generations. Let everything that breathes praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. I invite you now to sing along with us our closing hymn, Rise Up, O Men of God. On Easter, I'm going to head over here so that I can wave to you as you exit the parking lot. And there is a basket over there if you brought an offering that you wish to give this morning. And thank you for all of you who have continued to support Faith Community United Methodist Church all through this time. And now may the grace of God, who is our loving and our perfect Father, be with you now and forevermore. Amen.